KQED.
From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Scott Schaefer. There's good news this morning for the Naval Postgraduate School and the Defense Language Institute in Monterey. The Base Realignment and Closure Commission, or BRAC, has voted to keep both military facilities open. That's a big relief to local officials on the Central Coast. There were cheers in Riverside County Wednesday after BRAC commissioners voted unanimously against closing the Naval Surface Warfare Center in Norco. The Pentagon had recommended closing the base and moving its operations west to Point Magoo Naval Center in Ventura County. KPCC's Stephen Cuevas reports.
It's the second time the base has managed to wiggle off the BRAC list. By 6:30 in the morning Wednesday, the good news was circulating among bleary-eyed base employees and city officials.
I am so happy. You know, it's just amazing.
Brian Ullman is Norco's economic developer.
This time, they said it would be an absolute miracle, and it is. You know, about 85% of the bases that get put on the closure list end up closing.
Norco spent tens of thousands of dollars lobbying Pentagon officials to keep the Naval Center open. The base is one of Norco's biggest employers, pumping about $150 million annually into the area's economy. A Government Accountability Office analyst said that closing the base wouldn't save as much as the Pentagon had anticipated. At Wednesday's hearing, BRAC Commissioner James Bilbray said the Naval Center's case was further bolstered after he and another commissioner spent a day touring the facility last month.
They've recruited actively in the local University of California at Riverside and that whole area around there, and most of those people have long ties to the community. And I said, well, you only have to drive down the road a couple of hours to get to Ventura. Well, of course, during the rush hour when they would be going down there, it's probably like a six-hour drive each way.
There's still one last hurdle. President Bush and Congress have to sign off on the BRAC Commission's decision. Only then will the Naval Surface Warfare Center truly breathe a sigh of relief. The BRAC Commission will submit its final recommendations to the president next month. For the California Report, I'm Stephen Cuevas in Riverside County.
Not much good news for Arnold Schwarzenegger in a new poll from the Public Policy Institute of California. Just 34% of Californians approve of the job he's doing as governor, while 54% disapprove. The legislature fares even worse, just 27% approval, and voter support for ballot measures the governor's pushing is lukewarm at best. California's attorney general is turning up the heat today on pharmaceutical companies. Bill Lockyer is expected to add dozens of drug companies to an existing lawsuit, charging that California's Medi-Cal program was overcharged hundreds of millions of dollars for prescription drugs. And there's no nice way to say it. A new report by the California Center for Public Health Advocacy shows California's kids are getting fatter. Fitness tests show that 28% of school children are overweight, and it's happening to boys and girls of all ages and across all racial and ethnic lines. Researchers say it's an epidemic that shocks even them. At least five members of the California National Guard are facing courts-martial on charges they took part in the abuse of Iraqi detainees. Among the most serious charges, the inappropriate use of a stun gun on an Iraqi who was blindfolded and handcuffed. Reporter Scott Gold is the Houston bureau chief for the Los Angeles Times, and he's covering the investigation from Texas, where these men were based before their deployment to Iraq. He says the accused guardsmen are all members of a company based in Fullerton, California, and are part of a somewhat controversial battalion headquartered in Modesto.
This same battalion caused a stir last year when they went public in the Los Angeles Times with allegations that their preparation for combat in Iraq was inadequate. The soldiers had a number of concerns, largely that they had received very little of what they call theater-specific training or training that would prepare them for the day-to-day reality of combat in Iraq. And at least one soldier went AWOL rather than deploy under those circumstances.
And the commander of this battalion, Lieutenant Colonel Patrick Fry, he's somewhat controversial himself. What can you tell us about him?
Lieutenant Colonel Fry is a very interesting character to emerge from this situation. He's a veteran of three wars, but when he's not off commanding a 700-soldier battalion in Iraq, he's also a poet and a special education teacher who lives in Salinas in a kind of a farmhouse, I guess you could say, with his wife and his son and his donkey, who's named Burrito. He's a beloved educator there. He's been named Teacher of the Year at least once. And there are two very different explanations about who he is. There are many soldiers who remain fiercely loyal to him and said they would follow him into any battle. Others are not convinced at all that he's that great of a leader. Some have described him to our newspaper as an eccentric egomaniac. He, for example, carries a small hatchet wherever he goes and uses it to, quote, knight soldiers that he's promoting. And some of the soldiers that I've spoken to found that to be off-putting. Lieutenant Colonel Fry has been suspended during this investigation, but there certainly is considerable discrepancy as to whether or not that is the correct action for the Army to take and whether he deserves any of the blame for this.
How unusual is this, a guard unit from California being investigated, suspended, and brought up, some of them, on courts-martial charges? How unusual is it? Are there other states where the National Guard is facing similar kinds of scrutiny?
A lot of this is related, at least to some degree, to the difficult circumstances that this war is being fought under. At one point earlier this summer, nearly half of the U.S. troops in Iraq were either National Guard or reserve personnel, people who are called citizen soldiers who have spouses and day jobs and kids, and people whose duties have traditionally been restricted to domestic affairs, such as helping communities recover from floods or hurricanes. But this is the first time since Korea that the Guard and Reserve have played such a large role overseas, and California has contributed more to that effort than any other state. There are other Guard units that have been investigated for a variety of allegations of misconduct. The debate here is whether there is an epidemic of sorts that has poisoned this particular battalion. Most of the soldiers believe that there is not an epidemic and that they too have been victimized by a few bad actors. And it is certainly starting to have some impact on some of the families who are already living their lives under very trying circumstances, with these soldiers being gone for such a long time under such a dangerous situation.
LA Times reporter Scott Gold, he's covering the ongoing investigation of that California National Guard unit in Iraq. Scott, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
And that's the California Report for Thursday, August 25th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Scott Schaefer. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by TIAA CREF, serving those who serve others by offering financial services for the greater good. TIAA-CREF.org. The Steward Foundation, for coverage of important issues in public education. And the California Farm Water Coalition, family farmers dedicated to using water to produce fresh fruits, vegetables, and grains for your family. Online at farmwater.org.